Oh, how about this one? In Acts 17:11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Being Bereans, right? Being those people that are studying and making sure that we know the word of God and that what we're hearing, what we're taking in, is about the truth. You know? So, that means that we have to know the word of truth, right? To know whether or not we're hearing the word of truth. Does that make sense? Because there is, I mean, we see it, we've studied it in scripture, right, about false teachings and people that aren't on track. And so it's very important, right? How do we know if they're not on track? We're going to test it. We're going to test it against the word of God. We're going to study. We're going to know what it says so that we know the ultimate truth. So we know, because this is the authority on truth, isn't it? This is it. And so the Lord's telling us that we need to verify what we're hearing against his word, you know? Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It gives us the ability to see where we need to go and what we need to do while we're taking that path, right? Psalm 119:162, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I love that. We should take joy like as if it's a treasure. As if it's a treasure that we found and we want to keep. And it means millions and millions of dollars to us. And so how do we do that? We do that by coming here. We do that by studying, by getting into the word of God, by going book by book, verse by verse, coming to Bible study, reading, being in devotion, being in prayer, right? Those kinds of ways. So, what are the things that we need to study the Bible? So let me ask, I know the leaders are really good because I see your homework, Karen. If you ever want to see homework that has lots of studying done on it, look at Karen Riley's because she does a wonderful job. So Karen, what are some of the things that you use to do your homework during the regular year? Multiple versions? Yeah. Okay. And some of you may not be hearing her. So, and she said something really, really important, starting it off with prayer. How many of you forget to do that at times? I'll just be totally honest. Sometimes I just sit down. I'm like, okay, I got half an hour right now. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to whip out my lesson. I'm just being honest. I mean, everybody in my group knows that I have actually showed up without my lesson done at times because I understand life gets busy. That's what happens. But we've got to try to take that time because there's one thing we get out of doing this right here. There's one thing we get out of sitting in group and fellowshipping together, and there's another thing we get out of opening the Word of God, just like Ann said, just a conversation between our Lord and us and going through His Word and figuring out what He's saying to us in it. And prayer is one of the most important things we need to do before we do anything. So I encourage you guys, when you sit down to do your homework, and it really will, I promise you, make all the world of difference to pray beforehand, because half the time, and I'm sure that a lot of these leaders can agree with me, there's times I've sat down in front of my lesson and went, huh? Like, I've read the first couple of questions, like, oh, I don't even understand what that's saying right there. I mean, we've all done it. Just because we are supposed to sit there and facilitate your group doesn't make us any different than you guys and any less confused at some of the questions at times than you guys. So prayer is really, really important. She also said that she reads it in one version, then she'll read it in multiple versions. How many of you guys use like multiple versions when you're doing your studying? How many, like, what's your favorite one? Who loves like NLT the best? Yeah, because it's more like in story format, right? Regular English. So, but at times it's good to go back to like New King James, right? And read it in that different format too. And then you read it. Some of the other really great ones, sometimes you use the Amplified, which adds a lot more stuff in there when you're looking at the scripture. So it's really important. Don't get stuck with one version. Look at multiple versions. And so what we're going to show you, I think Emerald's going to put it up on the screen. If she can, she's going to walk it through. How many of you use a website to study? So there are some really cool things, some really cool tools. And if you guys aren't aware, you don't have to carry the 15 books anymore. So where it says verse, where you're at, can you just type John 5? And do it in like New Living Translation or something. So if you see, it has all the versions right there. And all you have to do is type in the scripture that you want, and voila. So if you are computer savvy, this is one of the best things. You can get the app on your phone. There's also Bible Gateway, that's a great one too. So you've got all your scriptures. Where it says tools, if you just click on that, all of your stuff is there. You can look at the interlinear, which basically like dissects the scripture and the type of words that are used there and what the root words are. You can go and look at the different Bibles that in the different forms that it is in. It brings up, look at that, every version. If you want to read that verse in 5 different translations, there you go. It's right there at the click of your finger, right there. Cross-references will take you and will show you other places in scripture that that same word or that same thought process is being given out, which is a great way, because how many of you know where how to cross-reference from one, like, oh gosh, I wonder where it talks about this, you know, in the Bible too. This is a great place to do that, because it's going to show you other places in the Bible that it talks about that same thing. Commentaries, Karen mentioned John Corson, and when you click on there, you can listen to it. You don't even have to read it. You can listen to it. Who loves that? Sometimes I'm sitting at work, and I'm an auditor, so I can put my headphones in at work because I don't have to talk to anybody. I'm not customer service or anything like that. And I'm constantly listening to commentaries, and it's just at a click of a finger. So you got a Joyful Life study, and you just click on one of those and listen to the guy talk about the entire chapter. Now you know what's going on because they've just given you a commentary right into your ears, you know? You can also look at the text ones, and all you do is click on one, and it brings up all the written stuff about the chapter, about the words, that talks about, you know, what's going on. It'll give you background. So when you sit in group and your leader starts saying, well, this is what was happening at that point in, you know, Israel, and this is the culture, guess where they're getting it from? They're getting it right from here, from the commentaries. They're getting it from the ability to go and to just to kind of read over what all these amazing Bible scholars have already done for us. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just got to go roll it, you know? So there's also dictionaries. So if you want to look up the meanings of words, you know how sometimes they will say in a question like, oh, so give a definition for what this word means, right? You guys have all seen those questions on our studies, right? Well, guess what? You got dictionaries right there at your hand where you can go. And I forget what's under miscellaneous, but you can click on it. So old maps. Yes, awesome. How many of you guys like to kind of see the images of what it might look like? Yeah, I got a history teacher over here. So, you know, if you want to see the time frame, Paul's, like when we were studying Paul's journeys, you know, and you could see like his first journey, his second journey, you could see it mapped out where it went. You can see some of the cultural things. It's a pretty cool resource. How many of you guys have used Blue Letter Bible to study? Okay, a few of you. How many have this, you're finding out about it for the first time? Okay, thank you, good. But like I said, there's also Bible Gateway. The only thing I would like to caution you about, just make sure that when you go to a website, you're going to one that's very reputable, that it doesn't end up at a different, I'm going to say it, like a different website that takes you to a place that might be a little bit weird or off base. So you got to be careful, because there are like the Church of Christ and, you know, Mormons and stuff like that. They have websites out there and they look like they're a Christian website. They're not. So go to, make sure you're going to one that you know about. What's the software that you use? Not eSword. eSword's a good one. Is that the one you use? eSword? Logos? So there's Logos software. There's eSword. Some of those ones you have to pay for, but eSword is free. So eSword is free. That's one. Bible Gateway is free. Blue Letter Bible. I use this. I have this on my phone. I mean, I use this constantly. Somebody would be like, oh, yeah, I was thinking, what's that reference? And I'll go type the word. And I'm like, oh, so that's on. And I look like I know what reference it is. I do tell them it's Blue Letter Bible, because I always have to confess my pridefulness. Yeah. Yes.
When you go to it, what it will also do is read the scripture to you, so you can have it read it to you.
Yeah.
It'll read it.
Yeah, the audio capability of some of them. I mean, you can study right in there. You can highlight things. You can put notes in there. YouVersion is another great one. If you guys haven't used it, YouVersion is a Bible app that you can get. She Reads is another really good one. And all those can be used for daily reading. I use Blue Letter Bible for my daily reading. And I'm trying to think of, I don't know where it is on this app. Do you know where to go for the... Can you click on devotionals, Emerald? Oh, daily reading program. It looks a little bit different on your phone app. Can you click on the blue? Is it blue? Yeah. So there's a bunch of different reading plans that you can go on. So those of you who would love to read the Bible in a year but have never been able to do it, and because you find yourself 10 minutes waiting at the shop to get your oil changed and you don't have your Bible with you, if you're savvy on a cell phone, you just have your Blue Letter Bible app and you click down at the bottom and boom, you can read your day, your day's, you know, devotion. You can read your, you know, your day for the daily reading plan. So they've got it in different types of form. You can read it the chronological plan. Anybody ever wanted to see what the Bible looked like chronologically versus the way that the books have been set up? I mean, that's kind of a cool option there if you want to read it in that format. So just some really good tools that if you weren't aware of them, I wanted to bring to your attention, because it's very important, as we see in the Word of God, that we do study, that we do know the Word of God, that we're able to answer it and answer people that ask us questions, but also for us to grow. Because like I said, you're going to get so much out of group and you're going to get so much out of somebody standing up here and teaching, but you're going to get so much more. I mean, how do you explain it? I mean, I just think that When you actually sit down and do your homework and you're studying the Word of God, you kind of come here kind of like ready, like, oh my God, I saw so much stuff this week. I'm so excited to share. I want to share with somebody. You know what I mean? Because the Lord spoke to you. I know that was kind of a silly reenactment, but that's kind of how you feel inside. You know what I mean? Because you're like, wow, the Lord really spoke to me this week. And this is what I saw through the chapter. And so, any questions about the website? Yeah.
Do we know how they came up with the term Blue Letter Bible?
I don't. Do you know?
No.
I don't know. Yeah, because you would think it would be red letter, right? I have a friend who works for Blue Letter Bible, and I should ask him that question, because I don't know. Do you know? Oh, is that why? Yeah, so maybe because it's the internet, it's blue letter. Okay, we're gonna go with that. I like that. It makes sense. So, she said because the links are blue on the internet, the links are blue. So we don't really know, but now it's going to bug me and I'm going to text Steve to find out why they call it Blue Letter Bible. But I like that. Are you sure? Is that way in the beginning? Yeah. And it's really cool because they actually have all kinds of languages on here too. Blue Letter Bible translates the Bible into tons of different languages. So if you have friends or the ability to minister to other people who have different languages, it's available on there. So how many of you get scared by the questions on Joyful Life? And I know that's kind of a weird word, but sometimes, right? Yeah. Do you feel like you have to, like there's a right and a wrong answer? Yeah. Yeah. And then when he asks you, like, what do you think about something, aren't you just, like, messed up then? It's just like, you're like, that's it, top out, I'm done. I do not know what I think about this scripture right here. It's kind of weird, huh? We get a little tweaked, don't we? Kind of like, I don't know how to answer those questions. So I want to encourage you guys not to be scared away by the homework. I think Denise told us, right, what we're studying next year, right? We're studying Luke. And I believe it's going to come out in a workbook type of format for us for the homework. And I think the questions are going to be formatted a little bit different this coming year. But I just want to encourage you guys that when you sit down and do your homework, like Karen said, sitting down and reading through the chapter, and the way I would do it, I read through the chapter, and then I just start going through the questions. And if I get stumped on a question, I just pass it up. And I go the next one. And, you know, the next one most likely is going to be one where it says, oh, what did the scripture say? And you're just rewriting the scripture on the question. I love those. And then you kind of read through, you get through the whole day. And then I look and I say, okay, well, I missed 5 on that page. I think I'm going to go the next day. And I'm just like, I go, and that's kind of how I do it. I go through the whole lesson and I might end up with a bunch of holes in my lesson. And then sometimes if I feel like there's a lot of holes, like I'm really just not understanding the chapter, and before I go try to sit there and just like wear myself out on trying to answer the question, I'll open up a commentary or I'll click on a commentary if I have my computer with me. And I'll read through the commentary to get an understanding of what the chapter is about. And it's more, I want to say for me, for my pea brain blondie, it's more like story format to me. So it makes more sense to me when they're describing and deciphering what the scripture is talking about, maybe the culture behind it. And then I'm able to go back and look at the questions and go, okay, well, maybe I can answer that one, and then I can answer that one. And like Karen does too, I'll read it in different versions at times. Sometimes I set it aside and I come back on another day to do the question. So I just wanted to encourage you with that because I know us women, I think we feel like we're a little bit in competition with one another or not equal to someone who's sitting next to us. And at times you look at the lady who's leading and facilitating your group as being so much more advanced or knowledgeable about the Bible than you are. And in reality, I just wanted to share with you how I do it and what I struggle with. Because you guys know that we're all in the same boat. I mean, I've never seen the homework before. You guys see the homework, you know? But I've set in my mind that I'm going to answer the questions. And sometimes it's a one-word answer. I mean, Kelly knows. Sometimes I have, like, the shortest answers on my page. And, you know, sometimes my questions are blank. Sometimes I'll start writing stuff that other ladies say in the leaders meeting or in group. I mean, I've written down answers that the ladies have answered in my group before because I'm like, wow, I didn't get that, and she got that. That's so cool, you know? So I just want to encourage you as we go forward that this is one of the most important things that we're wrapped up in, this right here. Because I think I've walked through more trials in my 11 years or so in the ministry that my husband and I serve in than I have been in my entire life. And I honestly don't know where I would be without this. I honestly do not know. I remember in the midst of a trial that started as a marriage trial and ended up with a trial that consumed literally, and no joke, literally every area of my life, my kids, my family, ministry, friendships, marriage. Did I miss anything? Literally every area of my life. I remember sitting at that Starbucks on Baker and Fairview, and I was literally sobbing at the Starbucks, just not knowing what to do, wanting to run from every area of my life, just wanting to go and just escape. And like, as if he was sitting next to me, the Lord just said to me, Jackie, your emotions will lie to you left and right, but my word will never lie to you. It is the truth that you can stand on. And that's the most important thing. Because ladies, our emotions and our trials and the things that swirl around in our head, which are crazy at times, will take us totally astray and will take us into places that we don't belong. And this is the only way to get back and get grounded again, is being in this. And I know that at times we don't think that that homework is that important because we don't have time for it. But I have found it to be so important. I cannot tell you how many times I have referred back to a study that I have done in Joyful Life, a book that I've gone through that I've said, wow, the Lord showed me. I mean, to this day I recount and I'll tell people, like, you know what? When we went through the Gospel of John, I don't know what else I learned, but I remember that the Lord kept telling his disciples, remember what I said, remember what I did. And that was what he spoke to me through that entire year. Every single week, Jackie, remember what I said, remember what I did. And the only way to do that is this right here. That's the only way we remember what he said and we remember what he did. And so it's so, so important. So I just kind of felt like the Lord was leading us to start off our 4 weeks talking about his word, because without that, we don't have all the other things. You know what I mean? I mean, we can have the other things, but this is what grounds us. This is what keeps the truth keeping us in that constant place. I mean, I'd be a mess without it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Can you guys all hear her? No. She was talking about we can see it, we can look at it as an investment that pays dividends, that as we put that time in, those dividends pay us back over and over again, and it's worth the investment and it's worth the time of putting it in. Kelly and I were, we had to drive out to Pendleton today, and we were driving back, and we were kind of talking about a situation, and we were talking about how sin grabs us, how it's very small. Like, we may falter, and we may like kind of walk in this little area of sin, and we don't think it's a really big deal, but our pride is kind of built up, and we're not about to confess that we did that, because that would make us have to be humble a little bit. And so then we just walk deeper into that sin, we take another step into it, and it grabs us a little bit more. And we're really not going to, I really don't want to confess that at all, because that's going to take even more humbling on the part of our pride. And then we take another step into it, and before you know it, sin has such a stronghold on us. And there's no way we're going to let go of our pride, because that would just be too humbling. That'd be too transparent. That'd be too hard to do. And so all of a sudden, now we're sitting with this major stronghold in our life because of sin. And there's a power that comes with the word of God that as we embed it into our life, there's times that as we embed that word into our heart, that word of God that's embedded, the investment that we put in, it grabs us before we get to that place of being under a stronghold. And it says, no, 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 Jackie, it's okay to humble yourself. It's okay. It's okay to confess that. It's okay to be transparent. I don't care what happens once you give it out to whoever's, I don't care if they laugh at you, Jackie. You need, it's okay. It's okay. Come back to me. And that's the word of God. As we embed that into our heart and we make that about who we are, that's what saves us from going to that place of dark, deep sin that has such a stronghold on us that we can know, you know, we feel like we can't get out from underneath it. And then it creates something in our life that it may take us years to get out from underneath. And so it's so important, ladies. And I think that you're here because you do want this. You know what I mean? So my encouragement is that we need to put more time into it. I'm sure each one of you are putting a certain amount of time. You know, my encouragement is just to seek the Lord and find out how much time he would like to see you there. And we all have, you know, we all have busy lives. We know that. We all have very busy lives. I mean, I have 3 kids, a husband, a ministry, and you know, serving here, which I actually love you guys so, so much. So we're all super busy, and I get that. But we need to focus on how many shelters we have up on that mountain in our life. How many shelters do we have? Do we have Jesus only? Do we put him first on that highest mountain? Are we wrapped up in him to where the rest of our life then is governed and covered by what he wants? Or do we have another shelter up there that's taking precedent right now? So we're just going to go into worship. And I encourage you guys just to kind of just have your time with the Lord. We're going to turn the lights down. The communion's going to be in the back. You know, prayer ladies, as the weeks go on, Ren's back there, Karen, Joanne, Ann, the dual power houses right there. Who else is here? Oh. Yeah. Don Marie. Thank you. Yeah. So if you need prayer, grab us. I'm sure you can grab anybody around you and they'll pray for you too, but we are definitely available. We're here to pray for you guys. So just make this your time. And I pray that for the next 4 weeks that, you know, at the end that we just make this our time to just be with the Lord and reflect on what he's spoken to our heart. Reflect on what maybe you came in with that you don't want to go out with, that you want to just leave here at his feet. Honestly, if you want to come and kneel down, if you want to go in the back of the room and hide in a corner, I don't care what you do. None of us care what you do, meaning not in a bad way, meaning you have freedom to do whatever you want while you're here. This is a house of God. And as we worship and we spend time with him, if you feel like you need to put your head down on the table, if you need to cry, if you need to be on your knees while you take communion, you have freedom to do that here. We don't have to be, we don't have to look a certain way for each other. It's okay. We can just be who we are with our Lord and put him first and put him as that shelter, that only shelter in our life. Does that make sense? So that's what we get to do for the next 4 weeks. We get to do that with Elva tonight. So how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to keep praying for her, you guys. So let's close really quick in prayer, and we'll just have some worship. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for loving us so much that you went and you gave your word out and you wrote it down that we could live by it, that we could stand on it, that we could wrap ourselves up in it, and we can be okay. Because at times we feel like we're not okay. Lord, we feel like nothing is okay in our life. And there's times that we feel just great. And we're so grateful that no matter what that looks like in our life, that we get to wrap ourselves up in you. Lord, that we get to just envelop ourselves in your word, Lord. So I pray that we would become women of the word. Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, that you would stir up a desire in our heart like we've never had before. Lord, that you would do whatever you desire to do in us tonight, in the next 4 weeks, Lord God. I pray that we would be women that open our hands and just give our lives freely to you in just submission to what you want, knowing that you are a good and great and awesome God that loves us so much. So, Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we worship right now, Lord, that you would come and you would just fellowship with us. Lord, I pray for just a time of communion with you. Father, that you would work in our hearts as you desire to work in our hearts, Lord. Pray that we would be women that just open the floodgates open wide to what you desire and what you want to speak, knowing that you love us so much. We thank you for tonight, Lord, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.